Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. Are we recording this time? Let's double check this.
Yes.
This is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for today's episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm very lucky to have Amy Eisenstein on the phone with me here today. She is the CEO and co-founder of the Capital Campaign Toolkit, and I can't wait to talk about that. She is also a consultant, speaker, author, and trainer. She's published books including Major Gift Fundraising for Small Shops and 50 Asks in 50 Weeks, which I think is a brilliant title. Amy has served as the president of the Association of Fundraising Professionals in New Jersey chapter 2014 and 15, and she's received AFP's New Jersey's Consultant of the Year Award in 2019. Amy became a CFRE in 2004 and received the ACFRE in 2013. My first question for you, Amy, is the CFRE worth it? Was it hard to get? And
Yeah. Good question. So I do think the CFRE is worth it. It's the certification that all fundraisers should have. It says that you're a very serious fundraiser, that you're taking continuing education classes, that you've subscribed to certain ethical principles and standards, that you have raised a certain amount of money. So the CFRE is sort of the baseline professional fundraising credential that fundraisers should get. Absolutely. I also have something called the ACFRE, which is the Advanced Certified Fundraising Certification. And that's something that you can go for once you've been in the field for 10 years or more. I don't necessarily think that's for everybody. It's like the PhD of the fundraising world. And so if you want to go on to teach, consult, be at the very top of your field, then it's appropriate and necessary to go for the ACFRE. But for most fundraisers, CFRE is what you should be aiming for.
Very cool. And of course, I have to ask, how did you find your way to fundraising?
Yeah. So I don't think anybody takes a straight line to fundraising. It's not like we're dreaming as children of growing up and being fundraisers. I went to graduate school for nonprofit management. So I did know I was going into the nonprofit sector. I dreamed of being a CEO or the ED of some big nonprofit. And I knew that they would need to have some fundraising skills as the CEO or the executive director. So I took my first fundraising job and I loved it. I fell in love with fundraising and I've been doing it ever since.
Right. And there's many flavors of fundraising, right? I mean, there's everything from annual campaign to, the annual, I guess it is called an annual campaign to other major gifts and things like that. How did you have a preference early on? How did you, cause now I think you, anyway, I'll just ask the question. How did you, there are many flavors of fundraising. How did you navigate your way through that?
Yeah. I started as a generalist. I think that's what most fundraisers probably start as. I was in a one-person development shop. I was in a domestic violence shelter, and I needed to do everything because it was just me. So I wrote grants, and I planned fundraising events and wrote direct mail pieces and solicited individuals for major gifts, and I was doing the whole spectrum. So I was a generalist fundraiser. From there, I went on to work at a university where I had the opportunity to specialize in major gifts and plan gifts and do a capital campaign. And so now in my consulting role, I do help organizations with major gifts and plan gifts and capital campaigns.
Right. So let's talk about that for a minute. Capital campaigns are not just something that an organization can simply decide they're going to do. I don't know, maybe some of them do, but how does a nonprofit know if it's ready to do a capital campaign?
Yeah, so I think that an organization knows that it's time to do a capital campaign when they are ready to get their organization to the next level. Really, that's what capital campaigns are for these days. They're capacity building campaigns. They're to get organizations to their next level of programs, services, how they're providing their services, and how they serve the community, really. And so when they're ready for that leap in growth, it's time for a capital campaign. And so when they have a really compelling case for support in ways that they're going to achieve their mission faster, better, more effectively, wider geographic scope, whatever the case is, it's probably time for a capital campaign.
Are there any indicators that would mean a nonprofit is more ready for a campaign than another nonprofit would be?
Yeah, so I mean, sometimes I'll give you two examples. One is when they're not ready. Lots of organizations think that they're ready when they're having an anniversary. So a 50th anniversary or their 100th anniversary even. And that is not compelling to a donor. Just because you've been around for 50 years, that doesn't tell me what you're going to do. It's not forward looking. And so sure, it's nice to have a celebration if your organization is 50 years old, but a campaign is really about what are you going to do for the next 10 years? What are you going to do into the future? So a campaign is not just based on, all right, we haven't had one in 10 years, but what are we going to do and what's our compelling case for support? Why should donors give to us? Right. But another really important indicator, which I guess you were asking me about, is I always ask organizations if they can identify and list and know the top 20 donors, potential donors to their campaign who are going to give the top 20 gifts potentially. If they can list those donors, that is a real indicator to me that they're ready for a campaign.
So an organization that's already been involved in some stewardship and are familiar enough with their donor base that they can just rattle that off without having to think about it too hard.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter to scale either, right? I mean, those top 20 donors don't have to be $1 million donors each, do they?
They don't. I mean, some capital campaigns or capacity campaigns, as we're calling them these days, are, you know, $1 million campaigns or $2 million campaigns. So you don't need $1 million donors to get to a $2 million campaign. So it's scaled based on what you're raising money for and what kind of impact you're going to have. Sometimes it's a $100 million campaign. Other times it's $1 or $2 or $3 million campaign. And yes, of course, your top donors would look very different for those campaigns.
Sure. So when a nonprofit is getting ready to run a campaign, what are some of the mistakes that they should avoid?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, one of the big mistakes that I see organizations making is asking the wrong question. And the question they ask first is, how much can we raise? And that's not the first question. The first question is, what kind of impact do we want to have? How are we going to look different? How is the community going to look different? How are our programs and services going to look different? So really, what kind of impact do we want to see? And then you can ask the question, how much does that cost? And then you can figure out if you can raise that or not. But, you know, asking the question, how much can we raise, is the wrong question to be asking. So that's one of the mistakes. Another mistake I see is organizations not taking the time to plan their campaigns and engage their donors with those plans before they rush out and start asking for money. That's a huge mistake, and it's always a recipe for disaster. The first step is to really create a solid campaign plan and engage your donors with that plan. And I guess the third and final mistake I would mention is organizations not budgeting for a campaign, thinking that they can raise a capital campaign type of money with their existing program staff and programs and development office, and not thinking that they need to hire any additional staffing or consulting or improving their fundraising infrastructure.
Right.
You know, I don't know how they're going to raise 2 times or 10 times more than they raise annually with no additional staff or resources.
Right. And the campaign does sort of have a life of its own, independent of other things going on in the organization.
Absolutely. They can budget that campaign's money from the campaign budget. It doesn't have to, it's not coming from the annual budget. It's right. Coming from a separate campaign budget.
Speaking of which, how does a nonprofit prevent a capital campaign from cannibalizing their annual fund?
Yeah, good question. That's something that lots of people, both staff and board members, are really worried about. You know, how is the campaign going to impact or affect our annual fundraising? And the reality is that it shouldn't. In fact, your annual fund should actually do better At the end of your campaign and afterwards, but it shouldn't go down during your campaign. And that's because every donor you go out and talk to, you should be telling them that first and foremost, you're asking for their regular gift to the annual fund, and whatever they can give on top of that will go to the campaign. But right. First, you need to continue the existing programs and services before you even raise your first dollar for the campaign. And so that every donor you ask and talk to about the campaign should know that whatever they give, first and foremost, hopefully that that gift will go towards the annual fund first and then the campaign. Now, occasionally you'll have a donor that says, no, I want my whole gift going to the campaign. And of course, you need to honor those donors' wishes. But most donors will understand that.
Right, that you're really continuing business as usual and that the capital campaign itself is to do something extraordinary beyond that.
Correct, that you're asking for a special one-time gift mm-hmm. over and above their annual contribution.
Right. What are some key tools that nonprofits need in order to lead a successful campaign?
Yeah, so there's a couple of really important tools for your capital campaign. The first two that jump to mind are the gift range chart. That is a chart that tells you exactly how many gifts at what dollar level, what amount you'll need in order to make your goal. So if you have $1 million goal, you might need one gift of 200,000 and two gifts of 100,000 each and four or six gifts of 50,000 each. So the gift range chart will tell you how many gifts you need at what levels to get to your goal. The sort of sister chart or related chart to that is called the depth chart. And what that does is identify donors who can potentially give the gifts on the gift range chart. So if one of your gift levels is $100,000 and you need two of those gifts, you might list four or even six people who you hope to ask for gifts of $100,000 or more. And so that depth chart will tell you who you're going to ask for those gifts that you need to get to your goal.
Right.
Do we have time for a couple of more tools?
We do, absolutely.
All right. So my next two tools would be campaign policies. You absolutely need to know your campaign policies, what type of gifts you will and won't accept, what gifts will be counted towards the campaign and what won't, how you're going to recognize people, all sorts of important decisions that need to be made with regard to a campaign. So one tool is campaign policies. And then the last one I would like to mention is a stewardship plan. So how are you going to recognize those campaign donors?
Interesting. Okay, so there's clearly a lot that goes into successful campaign execution.
Yes.
You mentioned the giving chart where you determine what levels and how many of what level of donation you needed in order to make your goal.
Yeah.
You know, you have these targeted asks that are going to happen as a result for each of those segments of the chart. Is every single ask a strategic one, or is there ever a blanket approach to making an ask within a capital campaign?
Yeah, so when you say blanket approach, to me, that's when you are going out to the community or your base of support with your direct mail appeals and with your email or online appeals. And that is for the last 20%, say, of your campaign. So the first 70, 80% of the dollars raised will be these targeted, mostly in-person asks. And it's the end of your campaign, the public phase you've probably right. heard of, mm-hmm. when you would go out in bulk and mass to your base for support and to the community.
Right. At the very start of this, we mentioned the Capital Campaign Toolkit. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, the Capital Campaign Toolkit is an online resource. It's an online platform to help organizations who want to be in charge of their own campaigns. It's an online platform, which is a roadmap to a capital campaign. It's a generic capital campaign plan that organizations customize for their own campaigns. But it also comes with support systems so that organizations that want to take the lead on their own campaigns have access to advisors, coaches, email helplines and Q&A sessions so that they can get the support they need while they're leading their own successful capital campaigns.
Very cool. Amy, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. If it were appropriate, how would a listener get in touch with you?
Yeah, they would go to the capitalcampaigntoolkit.com website, capitalcampaigntoolkit.com, and they can sign up for a free strategy session or a free step-by-step guide with us. And of course, my email address is amy@capitalcampaigntoolkit.com, and I'd love to hear from them.
Fantastic. Again, thanks again for making the time to do this with us.
Thanks for having me.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.